into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And this is very exciting for those of you that are familiar with the National Eagle Center. We have on the phone with us today the marketing manager for the National Eagle Center in Wabasha, Ed Hahn. And he's going to tell us about what is going on down there, what's exciting. And just, I want to learn more, actually, about eagles in general. Ed, welcome to KDWA.
Well, thank you very much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'm so excited. So first of all, I've been to your beautiful center, and I've been a number of times. I've been with my kids. I've been just with my husband. I was with another couple, and it just, every time I learn something new, and it seems like your programming is always changing. Can you give a 101 about the National Eagle Center for people?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. So, you know, we are basically an environmental education center that is home to rescued eagles. So that's sometimes or frequently, that's a kind of a surprise to people who don't know much about us when they come to visit. You know, they come in and boom, right in front of them, there are live eagle ambassadors. And so they, you know, kind of taken aback. Oh my gosh, they're alive. They're moving. And yeah, they're absolutely real. And so our eagle ambassadors are very much ours of the show here at the National Eagle Center. They are all rescued. They're all permanently injured, which means that they can't be released back into the wild. We're not a rehab facility. So we will be their permanent caretakers. And then we work with the eagle ambassadors as educators. And so basically that means that we are building a trust-based working relationship where we are partners with them to educate members of the public about eagles, about the natural world, and all of those other topics that intertwine with that.
So when you say that they come already, they've been rehabbed, what are some of their injuries? And is it primarily flying?
Well, it can be. It's not necessarily always the case. And with the four bald eagle ambassadors currently have here at the National Eagle Center, it's actually a 50-50 split. So Columbia and Angel are two female eagle ambassadors. Both had permanent wing injuries that they suffered, and so they are physically incapable of flying more than just a couple of feet at a time. On the other hand, our two male ambassadors, Latch and Washaka, ironically, both have eye injuries to their left eyes. And so they would be physically capable of flying if they were given the opportunity, but because they don't have that full field of vision, they don't have the depth perception that comes from having two functional eyes, that's actually very dangerous for them because they could fly into obstacles, and it's very hard for them to stick landing because they lack that depth perception. So those are the two types of injuries that are really represented here at the National Eagle Center. But if you were to go to other organizations, other centers and facilities around the country and even around the world, you might find all sorts of conditions or injuries that their ambassadors are dealing with. It could be partial amputations of wings if they were hit by a vehicle, things like that. A lot of times it's eye problems. Sometimes it might be head injuries, things like that. So there's really kind of a broad spectrum of things that could be represented among birds that are in human care that are used for education. But here at the National Eagle Center, it is primarily eyes and wings.
So where have your birds come from? Is it, you mentioned internationally that there are different eagle centers. Are yours local birds? Are they rehabbed locally?
Yes and no. Again, it's kind of a mix. So our youngest ambassador, Latch, is a 4.5-year-old male. He actually came from pretty much our backyard. He was rescued right outside of Winona on the Mississippi River. So he's almost as local as you can get. Angel and Columbia are both bald eagles that were rescued from northern Wisconsin. So they're still in the region, but they're not from Minnesota. And then Washaka, he was actually rescued down on a beach near St. Petersburg, Florida, when he had just left the neck. And so, I mean, he obviously comes from basically half a continent away down in Florida. So it really could be anywhere. You know, there's a, I guess I should describe what the process is. A lot of people want to know how that works. You know, when we have an opening, if we have capacity here at the National Eagle Center where we're looking to add another eagle to our team of educators, basically we put out feelers to a national network. And so that's a network that goes to different rehab centers. It might be places like the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota. But essentially, you know, we're going to put out that message of, hey, we're looking to add another bird to our team. And so what happens then is as birds are rescued and go through the rehabilitation process, the goal is always to get them fully healed and able to be put back into the wild. However, you know, if a bird goes through all that rehabilitation, but in the end, when they do their test and evaluation, they find that that bird just will not be able to survive, then they have to find a permanent home for that bird. And so that's going to be the next part of that conversation where, you know, we put out our feelers and somebody might come back and say, hey, we've got this, you know, this 10-year-old female in, you know, Arizona or whatever. You know, here's kind of the story. Here's what the needs are for the bird. And that's going to start a conversation to see if that bird would be a good fit at our facility and with our team of avian care specialists.
How long typically do eagles live?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. So in the wild, you know, an eagle that survives to adulthood can expect to survive about 20 to 25 years. That's a pretty average whole lifespan for a bald eagle. In the care of humans, they do have a much higher quality of life. They don't have a lot of those same threat factors that they would have out in the wild. You know, they have regular veterinary care, they have regular meals, they live in climate-controlled conditions, and so it is not uncommon that you could double the lifespan or almost double the lifespan of an eagle ambassador. So the eagles we have here, you know, if they stay in good health, they can easily live into their 30s, possibly their early 40s. So again, people, you know, they're surprised to hear that, and I think a lot of times what it is, you know, people see these birds, and they see birds out in the wild, and they immediately think, well, because they can't be out in the wild where they truly belong, and you know, make no mistake, our team here, we love the eagle ambassadors, we love working with them and caring for them, but obviously, no one, you know, has any illusions about it. We all wish that the birds could survive out in the wild where they belong to be, but, you know, the truth is, again, they have a much higher quality of life when they're in the care of humans. Not that we want all eagles to have to live with humans. That's not true at all. But, you know, people tend to think, well, they're not in their natural environment, so that must not be good for them. Well, that's not necessarily the case. And so, you know, again, the eagles that we have here at the National Eagle Center, they get the highest level of care. They really are, you know, our partners. They're part of our team, and so we do everything we can to ensure that they have the highest quality of life.
Well, tell us what's going on at the National Eagle Center. I've been there many times, and it's really just such a unique place, and I know COVID has been tough on you, but what's going on now?
Well, right now is soar season, and so for those who know, you know, typically we have an annual festival that takes place during the month of March, and that is designed to, you know, coincide with spring migration. It's always interesting because people say, well, what's the best time of year to come to the Upper Mississippi River Valley to see wild bald eagles? The short answer is winter, but it really does depend on what the weather does. And so this year, it's been a pretty decent example of what an early spring or spring-like weather does for bald eagle activity during the winter. We had really an amazing, amazing bald eagle viewing season this winter, especially in January and February. I mean, there were hundreds of eagles at places like Alma, Wisconsin, or Dam Number 5 just north of Winona, you know, week after week. Then this mild spring-like weather showed up, and basically that spreads the eagles out again. You don't see them in those large groups frequently. A lot of the eagles that are here in the winter, they're migrants from places further north. So once the weather warms up, they start thinking about heading back home up north to get back to that nest. If it were a year where the weather, like we've been seeing, doesn't show up until April, well, then you have kind of an extended viewing season because those birds are going to stay put until the conditions are really favorable for spreading out again. So, yeah, we're in store right now. The eagle numbers are always fluctuating. With the nice weather that we've had, we're not seeing those large congregations that we were seeing just a couple months ago, but there is a lot of eagle activity, and there's a lot of activity in the air, especially. On some of these really warm days that we've had with the nice, bright, sunny days, if you look high in the sky, there are lots of eagles very high up moving. A lot of those are birds that may have gone further south during the winter months, down into Iowa, maybe down into Missouri, and they are now headed back north. And they're basically using the thermal current, that warm rising air generated by the sun, they're using that to help them fly back north. And so we're seeing a lot of activity high in the sky. And of course, we're into nesting season now. So one of the treats about early spring, like we see right now, is that you can clearly see a lot of the nests, even from the highways when you're driving. There's no leaves on the trees, and so that makes observing eagle nests and eagle behavior that much easier. So it's one of the kind of the silver linings of when the end of winter arrives, because, the eagle numbers start to decline again because of spring, but those eagles that live in this region, they're on nests, and you can clearly see what's going on in those areas right now.
How big are those nests?
Well, that's a great question. They can get really very large, and having been to the center many times, you know that we have a replica nest
Yes.
here at the center. People will often come in, they'll look at that nest and say, they don't get that big, do they? And we'll say, no, they do. They get that big. You know, when a first year when a nest is first constructed, it may be 2 to 3 feet in diameter and not very deep, but every year that those eagles use that nest, and they're going to come back year after year after year to use that nest, as long as they continue to have success raising young, they're going to add more material to that nest. And so if you have a nest that's been used for several years in a row, you may end up with a nest that's 6-7 feet wide. It may be, 6-8-9 feet deep. So they get pretty massive. And again, as you're driving along the highways here in the upper Mississippi River Valley, you see some just monster nests in the tree line, just bees that have been there for probably 10, 20 years.
That's just amazing, Ed. And so do the same eagles come back to the same nests? And if they do, what happens if somebody's squatting in there?
They have, as a species, something called strong nest site fidelity. And so what that means is that bald eagles, when they build a new nest or maybe they find an abandoned nest that is going to, suit their needs, they kind of take ownership of that nest and the immediate territory surrounding it. They're going to keep coming back to that nest year after year as long as nothing catastrophic happens. During the off season, maybe a storm, blows through and knocks the nest down, or maybe during particular nesting season something happens where the young don't survive. If something like that happens, typically the eagles will abandon the nest because now they've had a traumatic event, something, really upset the routine, and they're not going to risk that happening again. So they may abandon it. But if they keep having success, they come back to the same nest site year after year after year. In truth, bald eagles actually have a stronger connection to the physical nest, the physical nest that they build and utilize to raise the young, than they do to any potential mate that they have. So, if you have two eagles that in one season they pair up, they raise young, they have success. During the off season, they're going to split up. They're not necessarily going to spend the off season together. They may not even spend the off season in the nest area. But late winter, early spring, both of those eagles are going to come right back to that same nest site. They're going to go through all of the courtship rituals again. If they're both still in good condition and strong, they're probably going to select each other as mate, and they're going to do it all over again. So the potential is there for eagles to pair up and mate with each other for several years in a row, or maybe even their entire lives. But that isn't the rule. If something were to happen in the off season, so let's say you had a pair of eagles, they have a nesting season, they raise their young, those young budge at the end of the season, they split up for the off season, and then they come back next spring. Well, if something happened to one of those eagles during the off season and they don't come back to the nest, the surviving eagle will not hesitate to take a new mate. They're probably going to use the same nest because, there wasn't a catastrophic event in the nest, but their original mate didn't come back, so they're going to go out, they're going to find a new mate, that mate's going to move into the nest with them, and away we go again. The whole process starts over. Now, it is not uncommon, it's certainly not rare, that you may have territorial conflict. And so you said, well, what happens if somebody's squatting? You will see conflict from time to time where eagles come, they may try to drive other eagles out of the nest. If there's eggs, they may try to come in and destroy the egg. If there's young, they may come in and try to kill the young. And so when you have eagles that are on nest, they are going to very vigorously defend that nest, those eggs, and those young from any kind of intrusion.
So let's also talk about the hierarchy that you might have with those four ambassadors that you have. Obviously, they have different personalities and different injuries, but do they get territorial?
Oh, yeah, for sure. When people come to the center, the one thing that's always kind of a thrill for them is when they go into the the room, the mew is what it's called, M-E-W, the room where the eagles live, there's windows in that room that overlook the river. So a lot of times, you know, the eagles will be vocalizing when people are in there, and it's always a thrill. Oh, listen to the eagles, they're calling. And what they're doing, more often than not, is they are reacting to wild eagles they see out the river. And the call that they're giving off is a territorial call. So essentially, they're not saying, hey, buddy, good to see you. They're saying, get off my lawn. Get away. Because the building, you know, where they live here at the National Eagle Center, to them, is their territory. It is their nest. And the same is true for the eagles themselves. You know, they live together in that space, in that room. Eagles are very territorial by nature. They don't, you know, we see them in large numbers in the wintertime, but that's really, they're gathering out of necessity. You know, they're gathering where there's still access to open water and fish. You know, in the summer months, they're spread out. And typically, you know, they're not going to spend time with other eagles other than their mate. So they're very territorial, but the ambassadors themselves, they're at least used to each other being in close proximity within the National Eagle Center. That said, there is definitely a hierarchy to them. Angel is our senior angel, eagle ambassador, and absolutely she is the queen of the roost. The other eagles know that. They kind of defer to her on that. That's why she has the center seat. She has the center window in that room because she is the dominant one. People say, well, what are their personalities? Well, as a matter of course, we really try to not anthropomorphize the eagles because they really are wild animals. We don't consider them pets or anything like that. They are wild animals that we have a relationship with, and we work with them as partners, but we try not to, you know, humanize them in any way as much possible. That said, they absolutely do have their own, you know, traits, their own characteristics, their own behaviors. Sometimes some of them are a little more docile than others and get a little more agitated than others. Some might be a little more feisty than others, but there's definitely a difference, and any one of our handlers who works with birds on a regular basis will tell you as much. So it really is incredible, those different relationship dynamics.
Oh, I can't imagine. Ed, tell us what exactly is going on at the Eagle Center, and how can we take part in all your fun?
Yeah, so, you know, with COVID, you mentioned it earlier, it has been a very difficult year. We are open to pre-registered visitors on the weekend, and so if someone is wanting to make a visit to Wabasha to meet the eagles and talk with their educators, we certainly direct them to our website at nationaleaglecenter.org. And we are currently open on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Again, you have to pre-register because due to COVID, we are limited as to how many people can be in the building at a time. So currently, we are offering 90-minute visitor sessions that you can sign up for. Starting this weekend, because the COVID numbers or the restrictions have been lifted a little bit, we are allowing 80 visitors per session, up from 50. And hopefully, as we start to get more control of the pandemic, we will continue to return to more of a normal situation. But as of right now, people do have to pre-register. Starting in April, we will be open on Thursdays as well. So starting in April, we will be open Thursday through Sunday each week to pre-registered visitors.
Ed, I learned a lot, and this was so fun. I hope that you stay in touch with us. Our guest today was Marketing Manager of the National Eagle Center, Ed Hahn, and do visit them online so that you can pre-register and go visit them in person. Thanks for all you do. I really appreciate it. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.